I just wanted to start. I'm going to put this up here because I've got lots of Bible verses to read that are only on my slides. Whoops.
Sorry, I moved it because I was like, this thing is...
Yeah, this thing is not very sturdy, so I'm going to try to,
as you can see,
keep Ashley's computer safe as I go through this.
I can kill it.
I'll try not to kill it. That'll be my goal, but we'll see. All right, so we'll just start in a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for these women. Thank you for the families that they represent. Thank you for this opportunity to just speak about a ministry that comes from your word. Please, Father, just use it in our lives to help us in our parenting. And we just give you all the praise and glory. And just please be among us as we speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so here, oh, how do I get rid of the look up child? Let's see.
Oh,
I don't know. Sorry about that, guys. Well, let me just start by introducing my children. So I am still a mother of a preschooler, surprise to me. He was a little surprised. And this is my 2-year-old Cohen, you can see right here. And then I have a 7-year-old named Judah, a 9-year-old named Elia, we call her Ellie. And my oldest, Sharon, or a lot of times goes by Shay Shay in our family, she is 12. I was thinking the other day that it would be interesting in less than 2 years, Sharon will be a high schooler, Ellie will be a middle schooler, Judah will be in elementary school, and Cohen will be pre-K 4. So it's another blessing to me as far as just going the homeschool route, because I won't in the morning have to worry about going to 3 different schools. So excited about that. Over here is my husband and I, and of course our talk is on parents as biblical counselors. Biblical counseling is a big topic. It could take a very long time to get through. So you'll notice the biblical counseling slides might feel a little rushed because I want to get to the good stuff. I want to get to parenting. So biblical counseling. This biblical counseling makes the affirmation that God is the source of all wisdom and counsel, and that the word of God through the work of the Holy Spirit are sufficient to all things pertaining to life and godliness. So there's a lot of verses that this is based on. If you see in biblical counseling, the Godhead, the three persons of the Trinity are active. God the Father revealing himself through Christ, through the scriptures, through the word of God. And the Holy Spirit is the active one working in us and through us as we counsel others. And the word of God, Christ, is sufficient. God is sufficient for all things pertaining to life and godliness. So we have here in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is breathed out by God. It brings back to mind the idea of when God created us, that he breathed life into man. Scripture itself has the breath of God. It's active, it's living, and it's profitable to us for all these areas: teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So it allows us to be complete in what Christ has created us for and equips us. In Colossians 2:3, it says here, God's mystery is revealed in Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, which, of course, is in the word of God. And his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Once again, that's where that life and godliness part of the affirmation of biblical counseling comes through. And all things are given to us through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Like I said, kind of rushing through these slides. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is true understanding. David said in Psalms that the testimonies, which refers to the word of God, are our delight, and they are our counselors. Yes. And, of course, just the understanding that who is like God? I mean, we have to understand that the only being that needs no counsel, that needs no outside information, is God himself, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him. So the methods of biblical counseling really surround the heart and mind. The methods really are directed towards these two areas. It says, biblical counseling, I use BC, through the word of God and by the Holy Spirit's power, seek to bring about genuine and authentic change. So we're not looking for temporary change here. We're not looking for behavior modification. So the authentic change by reorienting the heart's affections and renewing the mind. So the heart, as is seen in Scripture, in many ways is the soul. Sometimes biblical counseling can be called soul care. So the soul being the heart, being our affections, our desire, our will. And so our heart, in order to please the Lord, must be worshiping, following, and depending on him for everything. We are to look for him for our peace, for our comfort, for our joy, to any and every longing we have as human beings. And a lot of this comes from denial of self. So the Lord asks of us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow after him with our heart. Then, of course, the mind is also involved in this. It says, you know, we have to know who or what is informing our decisions. Who are we following, right? With our decisions, feelings, and emotions. This all comes from the mind. We need to renew our mind with the truth of Christ. Another term for biblical counseling is nouthetic counseling. It comes from noutheteo, which is like a Greek word. I'm actually opening up my notes now as I get a little bit more technical. Make sure I have that right. But nouthetio, it's actually, the word often is translated to admonition. I don't know why I'm forgetting that, but it's the idea of imparting wisdom on the mind. And of course, the wisdom is coming from Scripture. And so that is just the, when biblical counseling is happening, when you're speaking with someone, you're really looking towards orienting their heart in correct worship to Christ, and renewing their mind with true wisdom from the Scriptures. And so, what about all of the things that people usually come to counseling for? Well, as far as sinful, we're not talking about all behaviors, attitudes, and emotions, because not all of those are sinful. But when we're looking at sinful behaviors, attitudes, and emotions that come that come up during counseling, we see these as symptoms, just as a doctor would see like a cough as a symptom of a respiratory infection. These are really symptoms of a heart issue. My favorite verse, don't know why I don't even have it on there. There's so many verses that speak to the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, for example, says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Well, we can answer that one, right? Who can understand it? He says, "I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind." Notice here, heart and mind again. You'll find this all throughout Scripture. The Lord says that we believe, we accept the truth of Christ, which is knowledge and wisdom. We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that he is God. These are real root key things. In Luke 6:45, it says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And then in Matthew 15:19, Jesus is saying that it's not what we eat that makes us unholy or defiles us. It's actually what comes out of our heart. He says that out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, acts of adultery, immoral sexual acts, thefts, false testimonies, and slanderous statements. So here we see that we obviously need a new heart, right? That is what the Lord promises us. He promises us a new heart, and we are to live as a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it has this speak to the mind. It talks about taking every thought captive to obey Christ. So our minds need to obey Christ, need to be looking to the wisdom of the Lord, the true wisdom, and our hearts need to be made new. We cannot operate from a wicked heart. So another huge part of biblical counseling is instilling hope. When people come for counseling, they're dealing with sin, not just their own sin. They're dealing sometimes with sin inflicted on them from others, or they're dealing with just living in a fallen world, which is corrupted by sin and sickness. And so people are coming with their suffering, with their adversity into biblical counseling, and they always need hope. And the only hope is Christ. So we're literally sharing Christ with them. We are sharing real hope with them. To the sinner, we're sharing the fact that restoration and reconciliation are possible through Christ. To those that have been abused and mistreated, we're binding them up with the comfort that only Christ can provide. To those that are weak and faint-hearted, we are instilling in them courage through the Scriptures. So in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, don't have time to read all of it, but the idea here is that we are looking for that eternal weight of glory. Everything that's afflicting us is light, momentary affliction. All right. So who is a biblical counselor? I don't know if you guys have heard of the one another verses, but there's 59 of them throughout Scripture, and it really speaks to us as being the body of Christ and living as the body of Christ with one another, how we are to act towards one another, how we are to love one another, bear each other's burdens, forgive one another, all of these one another verses speak to the fact that biblical counseling is a ministry for the church, by the church, and under the authority of the church. It's a one another ministry, And it's really discipleship. We're all called to disciple others. It's a commission the Lord has given all of this. And biblical counseling is a very personal, usually one-on-one part of discipleship, and it's usually found in the midst of need. In biblical counseling, we are ministers of reconciliation, and we are ambassadors of Christ, which we are also all called to. I'm going to get a little bit of water, so hold on one second. Sorry, guys. Should have got that before. But if you notice in this verse up here in 1 Thessalonians, if you're able to later go back and look at it, it actually starts out with Paul talking about how we are to honor pastors and things like that and look to them. And then he clearly speaks to the brethren. So we're not just talking about pastors or elders. He speaks to the brethren. He says, we urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish. Interestingly enough, that is the word notheteo in the Greek, meaning impart wisdom on the mind, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. So now we get to the fun part. The parental rule. Woo, I sped through that one. Okay. So now that we've got the biblical counseling, kind of a little short grasp of that, I'm going to talk about the parental rule. Now, when we talk about biblical counseling being one another ministry, when we speak about the parental role, there's a little bit of a nuance here because the parent is given authority. So there's a little bit of a difference in the relationship there. And the children are asked to honor the parents to receive blessing. That's found in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. But interestingly, we need to keep the Lord's purpose in mind for this. Children temporarily obey us so that they may learn to obey their heavenly Father. That is the purpose of this authority that he's given us. It says in Hebrews 12 that for they disciplined us, speaking of parents, for a short time as seemed best to them. But he, meaning the Father, God, disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So thinking of this, if our understanding is that our discipline is to point to be an image bearers to our children of God the Father, it means that as we discipline, they need to know that we are for them, that all that we are doing is for their good, for their blessing, and that we are not disciplining them so that they don't annoy us and bother us with all of the issues that children can bring about, but for their good and to be a shadow of their good Father, so that when they leave us one day, that they will know that the Father has their best and they want to follow and they want to obey. One time in a homeschool conference, a lady speaking of parents to young children spoke about the fact that a lot of obedience in the beginning is just for them to understand that obedience brings sadness. I mean, disobedience, sorry. Very, yeah. Disobedience brings sadness, but obedience ultimately brings joy. And that's just the general understanding. What time is it? Only 5 minutes left?
Well,
10. Yeah, 10. Like 20. Okay. Oh, okay, I can see. Oh, there we go. All right, sorry, looking at that backwards. Woo, okay, good, we got 10 more minutes. Because I was like, oh dear, this is the fun part. All right, so another important thing to keep in mind is you don't own your kids. Kids, God does. This is huge so that we don't make the parental authority role an abusive situation, right? In Ezekiel 18:4, it says that the Lord is the souls of both the parent. It uses the word parent and child belong to the Lord. We are gifted with this role. Parents are given the role to teach and instruct. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, as we're speaking of the word, as we walk by the way, as we enter our homes, as we leave our homes, we're writing it on the doorposts of our walls. And when you think about that, the culture in the home does need to be sharing about Christ's wisdom on a regular basis. It does need to be part of your role. There does need to be teaching. You do need to be the main teacher and not your church. Biblical counseling comes into play not so much with that teaching, with that base understanding of imparting a biblical worldview on a regular basis to our children, but to also instruct and admonish them. This is when that nouthetic word comes in, to impart wisdom upon the mind, and usually during a time of real need. There's a famous book, and actually by a biblical counselor, Paul David Tripp. It's Shepherding the Child's Heart, and it's just the perfect title ever. It's the most perfect way to really put that. I mean, not perfect, but really, really good. The idea that a parent's a shepherd. We're guarding and protecting them in a way And we're also leading them on the right path, which is what God the Father ultimately does for us. And we're once again image bearers of Him doing this for our children. It says we help the child learn and embrace wisdom. We give them biblical worldview. We help them to really understand their condition as fallen, sinful people. We lead the child to Christ for salvation and restoration. We take part in the ministry of reconciliation. We encourage, comfort, and love. All of this is done by love. We're speaking the truth in love, of course, which is the basis of biblical counseling. We love the child through their suffering and adversity, and we invest our lives in the child. We make it a focus. We give them our time. So the overall goal is of parenting. We want our child to have a new heart and a renewed mind. We want them to come to salvation in Christ. We want them to be restored in a right relationship with Christ, and we want them to have their hope in Christ and still hope. Something interesting you might notice about all these goals of parenting, they're pretty lofty, and they're works of Christ. They are not our works. They are Christ's works through us. That's what's very important to remember. Ultimately, the one working and accomplishing all the things that you want for your child is Christ, and only He can accomplish it. So there's a complete dependency on the Lord to do this work through us. We are literally in a ministry. This is a ministry given to us with our children. And when you really think of your role as a ministry, it becomes a much more holy undertaking. Wisdom is central in parenting. If you look at Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom, the first six chapters are literally between a father and son. And there is an entreating in there. There's three appeals. Listen to me. Lend your ear to me. Love wisdom. Embrace it. This is an imagery of a father to a son begging him to look to wisdom, to renew his mind. We have an enemy, and I think that's important to keep in mind, too. There's an enemy that is out to, he's known as a prowling lion seeking to devour. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. That's another reason to look at ourselves as shepherds. We are joining the Lord in working in this ministry to protect our children. And we're combating a world that's fallen and under influence from the enemy. So in the world, when you watch movies, you read books, and good people, well, people that think they are doing good try to instruct our children. A lot of times what they're told is follow your heart. The heart is desperately sick. That is the worst information they could be given. They do not need to follow their own heart. They need a new heart. They need to live as a new creation. It says, don't let anyone tell you what to do. That's rebelliousness. Don't let anyone tell you you can't do that. And then self-esteem rather than a biblical anthropology. Anthropology is a really big word just for the understanding who we are as humans, what our human condition is. And the idea of self-esteem is esteeming yourself as good just the way you are. Don't change. This is how you were made. That is not biblical wisdom, and that will destroy their lives. That is straight from the enemy. So how are we to do this? What's the practicality in this? Well, relationship, relationship, relationship. In biblical counseling, relationship is what allows us to come and share of Christ with another person. We need to be in a right relationship, and we need to be acting as Christ. We are Christ ambassadors. And so with our children, we need a right relationship with them, and we need to have communication with them. In James 1:19, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Everyone, including parents, you don't get a pass to be angry at your children just because you're given authority from the Lord. Anger itself is a sin, and there are obstructions to the parental role and relationship. Christ says that it was his kindness that led us to repentance. The ministry of reconciliation is gentle and comes from a place of love. So when we have these obstructions to our parental role of sin, anger, selfishness, and pride, selfishness meaning we don't give time, we'd rather give time to other things. Pride being that we don't see ourselves as a person in need of change, helping another person in need of change. We need to see ourselves humbly. Christ came to us humbly. The idea that You know, when we sin, we come to our children and we ask for forgiveness, because if our relationship is not restored with our child, we will lose communication and we will lose the ability to perform, to be part of this ministry of reconciliation to our child. We lose our role there. And this is where obstructions come in, is through sin. The understanding that sin separated us from right relationship with God. Sin separates us from right relationship with our husband. And sin separates us from right relationship with our children. So, who is the agent of real change? Obviously, it's God. God in three persons. And what I really love is this verse here in Hebrews 4:12, speaking specifically about the word, talking again about it being alive and active. But listen here closely. It says, sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So when I was speaking about communication with our children, sorry, so thirsty, and communication being so important, the idea is that we really need to be able to talk with our children and listen well. So as we're listening to them, we're asking proper questions. And the questions, good questions to ask, if we're really trying to make sure that their mind is being renewed with the wisdom of God and that their desires and their heart is truly worshiping God, good questions would be, as we're speaking to our children and we're asking what's going on with them, we're just asking them, what were your expectations? What controls you? What do you worship? What's your mindset? What's your worldview? And then you ask questions like, how did you feel? What were your emotions? And then you're looking at these feelings, emotions, actions, everything they've done, and looking at what could be the sin and the source in the scriptures. And so through communication and through really listening to our children, we're able to actually see the source of all situations that they are dealing with. And so, but looking again at this verse, the idea that then once we ask the right questions and we see what they really might be dealing with, we bring them to the Word. The Word itself is powerful and active in their lives, especially when it comes at a time of need to their specific situation. It is the one thing that judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It is the one thing that can pierce their very soul and can reveal their sin to themselves that the Holy Spirit uses to actively work in them. In Colossians 1:28, it says, admonish every man, which is again that word of imparting wisdom upon the mind, and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. I just wanted to close, and the agent of real change being Christ himself, being God himself, is so important for us as we go forward as parents. Recently, one of the most, it was really interesting. I had actually sent the email that this is what I would be speaking on. And with one of my children, something came to light of a sin that they had been dealing with and hiding. And it really broke me to see how they had struggled and how they had already received the consequences of it and how they had not come to me. And that's a really hard moment for us as parents. We feel broken and we feel failures in our role. And the Lord, you know, after a day or two of just almost mourning the situation and asking the Lord what I should do, he brought me to a point of thankfulness. And the point of thankfulness being is, thank you, Lord, for bringing this to light. And that is the understanding of biblical counseling and the understanding of we really want to grow close to Christ, to come close to him in his word, to come close to him in prayer, because when God is a God of light, and he is the one that really brings out anything from the darkness. He really searches us out. He really cleans us out from the inside, and this is what we want from our children as well. So when this was brought to light, it was only a blessing. As you come into communication with your child and you see the issues they're really dealing with, this is a blessing. This is something we should be thankful for, because we are not dealing with children that are perfect. They are going to sin. And when they do, this is an opportunity. God says he works everything to the good of those that are called according to his purpose. And he conforms them to the image of him. Everything is to be used for the good purpose of making your child and you more like Christ. So now I could see in thankfulness, this is an opportunity to really draw my child to Christ, to really show them what grace really was about, not theoretically, but through experience, to show them that God didn't want them to hide and receive the consequences of sin and to be full of shame. God is ready, and when they come and they come to Him in true understanding and they repent before Him, He just wants to forgive them, love them, continue to guide them, and continue to bless them. And this was just such a beautiful experience for me, honestly. And now I got to, so interesting that I had just sent that I would do this. I am actually able to biblically counsel in a little bit more of a formal sense my daughter through this issue she was struggling with. So now it's once a week on Fridays, and she loves it. She feels loved. She feels loved. She knows I have her good in mind, and that Christ, God, ultimately has her good in mind. And so it comes all down to the real goal of parenting. We want to show them the path, the right path, to show them Christ, to show them true hope, to show them the true love of their lives and of their soul. So one day when they depart from our home, they will continue to walk in it. They will continue to know their good Father, to seek Him, and to know what it really is to be a Christian, to live in the light, to take their sin instantly to Him, to ask for forgiveness, to be bathed in His grace, and to continue walking and knowing His good purposes for Him. So that is what I had to share today. Oh, and last thing, remember, the dependency is on Him. I didn't need to feel like a failure. Of course, I learned from it. Different things I could do better as a parent. But I am ultimately looking to Him. I am serving alongside Him, and I am in complete dependence through prayer and His word to guide my children. All right, that's it.